Luke, the second chapter, in verse 40, it tells us about an incident in the life of Christ. It says the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he became 12, he went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning after spending a full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware of it, but supposing him to be in the caravan, and went a day's journey and began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. And then after 3 days, they found him in the temple. This incident is humorous to me. I'm sure it was very concerning as a parent to leave children and to neglect them and to go a day's journey and then after looking for them, not find them for 3 days. Back then, I'm sure that meant certain death for children. And I know what it's like today to just lose them for a few seconds in a grocery store or Walmart or wherever it might be. I think we need to put beepers on them. I know that. But, you know, sometimes things happen and we get distracted. And I just want to talk just for a bit tonight about what would it be like to leave Jesus for a day? What would it be like to not have Jesus around for a day? They went a day's journey before they noticed that he was gone. How long does it take us sometimes to realize that he's gone from our environment as well? We suppose him to be in the caravan. You know, distraction is easy to all of us. If you've been paying attention to the news, you know that many states are trying to outlaw texting while driving. And the reason why is because they found out it's equal, if not exceeds, the distraction of drunk driving. In other words, in starting to study the statistics, they found out that as many people get killed in accidents from texting as they do from drinking. That's a pretty high number. Distraction. It can kill people physically. And I about killed my mom and dad the other night on the way here. But nevertheless, we won't talk about that. The point I'm talking about is distraction is really important. We need to recognize before we go a day without Jesus. That's terrible. Think of that. Is that really possible with us to go a day without Jesus? Well, yes, it is. The number one killer, I believe, of Christians today, of where we assume that we're alive, is that we've gone on with our lives without Jesus. We're so busy. If there's anything that is a number one problem, really, for us in the church, and I'm talking practically, it's that we are busying ourselves to spiritual death. Not doing things that are sinful, because the devil has found out he can fill our lives with things that are temporal and not necessarily spiritually harmful, but they're enough to drown out the spiritual. That's all he cares about. If he can put enough temporal stuff into our lives, then it'll drown out the important. You know, already in this meeting, we've had a brother talk to us about Mary and Martha in Luke, the 10th chapter, in verse 38 through 40. And one translation very clearly says, Martha was distracted. Distracted. That was her problem. She was cumbered about with much service. She had a lot of things. She was busy. But then her sister chose the one thing that was important. Needed only one thing, the New American Standard said. You know, in our days that go by, our students tell me, and I've talked to many of them at college, I talk to them about evangelism, I talk to them about prayer, I talk to them about their study habits, reading their Bibles, and you know what they constantly tell me? They're good kids. They're great. But they tell me they don't have time. They don't have enough time. I have to get this done. I have that done. That's on my schedule. I have this class. I have that class. Everything is so weighing upon us. Parents with children have the same thing. I have this and that, and I have to take care of so much. I have this, and then whenever they get up, oh, it gets even worse when they turn into teenagers. And then whenever they get grown, we have grandkids, and grandkids are distracting. I guarantee you. The whole point is there's never a period in our life where things that are temporal don't call for our attention. So what can we practically do about it? Well, there's certain things that we need to do, brethren. There's certain things we need to do. The Bible says in Colossians 3, 1 through 3, if ye then be raised up with Christ, talking about baptism, seek those things which are above, not the things that are on the earth. Set your mind on things. Set your mind. What does that phrase mean? It means focus. It means set your mind, set your eyes, look upon these things. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, tells us the same things. Looking unto Jesus. We got to look, we've got to focus, we've got to stare, we've got to make sure that other things don't distract us from Jesus. Oh, they don't intend to do that, but they do. And then we start goggling and looking at the side of the road. Finally, you run off the road and run into the back of somebody because we were distracted. And it causes us destruction. So young people and old people alike, all of us, no matter what our age, the temptation for distraction is always there, especially when we think we won't be distracted. We relax and we fail to focus. Well, setting our mind means to be proactive here. It means to make sure that the important things get into our lives and aren't pushed out. It means to make sure that we put down some roots. It means that we don't let the cares of this world grow up and choke out that which is eternal and that which is important, the one important thing in our life. How do we do that? Well, we measure ourselves daily. You know, in the scriptures, there are so many times that the Bible compares the Word of God to food. In Matthew, the 4th chapter, 4th verse, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Live on this. And he compares it to bread. You, in order to have spiritually vital lives, must feed on the Word of God. There is no substitute. There is no pill. There's no shot. It comes from feeding on the Word, and that's the only way to get it. Only way. You know, I have one brother here that decided he's going to do that. I won't tell you his name. But it's really great. He got an app. You know, there's an app for that. He got an app that read the Bible to him every night whenever he went to bed. He set his iPod and went over there, let it go. And he slept going to bed on those words. That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. But you've got to get the Word into your daily life. It is absolutely necessary for your spiritual survival. In the Old Testament, in Job 23 and verse 12, I have not departed from his commands. I have treasured his words of his mouth more than my necessary food. How many of us have Bible reading programs we follow? We're God's people. We say that this is the most important thing to us. Brethren, we may forget what other speakers and what I may say tonight, but I'll guarantee you the most important habit you will ever develop in your life is daily feeding on the Word of God. Is there anybody that would doubt that? But how many of you want that but haven't done it? You see? That's what I'm talking about. We, like Jesus' parents, have gone along assuming that he's in the caravan. And every once in a while we stop and say, you know, I need to defend myself. I need to feed myself. And we look around and we're a day's journey away from Jesus. We're way down the road from him. In John 6 and verse 63, Jesus here says, the words that I have spoken unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are life. I need these things to live. God designed for us to be nourished up on the words of righteousness. He designed for us, as Hebrews 5 says, to be familiar with the words of righteousness. God designed our spiritual life to be fed by these things. And we're weak, and we're weary, and we're distracted, and we don't know why. Well, there's an obvious answer. We must demand of ourselves the most important things for our spiritual survival, and that is food, daily food. We've got to do that. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. Psalms 119, verse 103. We need this food in our lives. Oh my, that is so much. Okay, Romans 12, 1 through 3. The Bible says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. That is impossible without a familiarity with the Word of God. If we don't have it, we'll be conformed to this world, but God calls us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We've got to get the Word of God into our minds. Delilah had Samson's haircut in Judges 16 and verse 20, and she said, "The Philistines are upon you." And he awoke and he said, "I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free," he said. But the Bible record goes on and says, but he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. He did not know that the Lord wasn't there, that the Lord had departed from him. My brethren, we need Ephesians 6. I've got to put this in. Ephesians 6 tells us that we've got to put on the full armor of God so that we will be able to stand in the evil day. Because our war is with evil. Our war is with wickedness. You can't fight if you don't put on the armor. You can't stand if you're not equipped. So how do we do that? How do we put that on? Well, you put it on by just putting it on daily, getting familiar with the armor, equipping yourself with the Word of God, because we've got to fight, brethren, and we don't want to fall, and we don't want to live a day without Jesus. We don't want to go assuming he's in the caravan. Brethren, I'm just encouraging you. Read the Bible this year. Demand it daily. Get it into your life. And I'll guarantee you, on the day of judgment, you'll look back and remember the day you began the daily discipline of feeding yourself on the most important thing you will ever read. And that is the Word of God. One last statement. Now hush. If you don't read the Word of God, you might as well be blind, because the most important thing you will ever in your experience of learning and being able to read, if you don't read the Word of God, you might as well be blind. God gave us something to help us survive. Brethren, don't go a day. Don't go a day without Jesus.